It's time now to get behind the headlines of this week's Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss.
Good morning. It's 5 minutes after 8, and it's Thursday, which means it's time to get behind the headlines of this week's Lightning with Lightning Radio with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. Good morning, Bill. Great to have you back in the studio with us this morning, sir.
Good morning, Mark. So great to be back with the community after a two-week hiatus.
I was gone 1 week, you were gone the next, but we're back.
Invariably, it seems like whenever we have a hiatus, it always ends up, for some reason, being 2 weeks.
Sorry about that.
We don't know how to take a week off.
We do what we got to do, though.
We're the COVID generation.
Maybe that's it. So we've got lots of news to cover. There's lots in this week's Lightning. So let's get started. What do you say? Front page here, we've got an Acosta Trail update.
Returning to a topic that we know and love,
yeah,
Acosta Trail, right? The Lightning is as good, I would venture to say, better than any media around at bird dogging and staying on the trail of the Acosta Greenway that we will be riding along, jogging along, strolling along, and skating along maybe a year from now.
Absolutely.
First 5 mile segment. What about that first 5 mile segment of the Acosta Trail?
Well,
details emerge as engineers reach a first benchmark known as the 30% design phase. It sounds technical, and it kind of is,
okay.
But the NCDOT requires a 30% design phase sort of check-in, let the engineers do it, let the NCDOT and other stakeholders look at it, and
okay.
Then later on we'll talk about a 90% design phase, then we'll talk about construction bids, then we'll talk about groundbreaking next, and then someday.
And then someday we're on it. So we're at the 30% design phase now?
Exactly right. We're at this. Among the most important pieces is the cost estimate, of course. That's now at $8.5 million. It's a little bit short of $5.5-6 million or so grant they have to cover that, but there is lots of really successful fundraising going on behind the scenes by the Friends of Acosta Trail, Henderson County in terms of applying for grants. They're always eager and proud to say, Henderson County Commissioners, that is, that they're not really expending any property tax money and any taxpayer, local taxpayers' money. It's a lot of this is being raised, and thank you for that, in the private sector.
Right.
So besides that $8.5 million cost estimate, that includes, which includes trail construction, some planning and landscaping, wayfinding, signage, and mile markers, but not bathrooms, parking, and other amenities. We'll talk about that maybe in the next design phase.
Okay.
So what are the highlights there? Trail width, you might want to know. Designers, Friends of Acosta Trail, and the county's Rails to Trails Advisory Committee all forecast heavy use of the trail, especially right in town from Main Street or however you want to, from Busy Bend to White Pine Drive right there
Laurel
in the heart of Laurel Park.
Yep.
That segment will be the widest at 14 feet, and the trail, it'll be 12 feet along the more rural and high and more lightly traveled leg from White Pine Drive to U.S. 64. The goal, the engineers say, is to provide a trail width that will allow for comfortable sharing of the trail by a variety of user types, people walking, running, rolling, or cycling at all ages and levels of ability. And there is more than enough room. This is a really interesting fun fact, Mark, about the Acosta Trail path from the railroad. There's more than enough room to accommodate the expected width. The right-of-way varies from 37 feet at its narrowest to 123 feet at its widest. That is a wide right-of-way.
Yes, it is.
So plenty of room for either 12 or 14 feet.
I guess so.
This is interesting. But bridges. This section of the trail includes 6 bridges. After evaluating conditions of each one and looking at projected repair cost and capacity for supporting emergency or trail maintenance vehicles, engineers said, nope, they all got to go. They're all going to be replaced.
Wow.
We're going to get prefabricated steel bridges that contractors will. Those will be like assembled, maybe in pieces, but they'll come on a big flat bag,
mm-hmm.
and they'll get a crane out or something, and they'll lift them right onto the spot there.
Wow, all new bridges.
And they'll be elevated so that this is actually going to be a way to increase the chance of flooding, because there won't be a lower bridge that could increase flooding from streams or creeks.
Okay.
Which is interesting, I think.
Uh-huh.
What about two roundabouts that we know are coming up? Well, more than that in Laurel Park, but the
right.
ones that will be along the trail in Laurel Park at White Pine Drive and that South Main Church King roundabout, right?
Right.
In Laurel Park, plans calls for a temporary but fully functional trail crossing that will be modified when the roundabout is done. And in Hendersonville, downtown at South Main and Church, a Coosa trail crossing will be constructed as part of the roundabout project, and that's some years away.
So the trail will go through one of the roundabouts in Laurel Park?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll go right around it.
Okay.
And so it will also the one in Hendersonville.
Okay.
Crossings are every crossing is being looked at. Some of them are busy enough, such as Busy Bend, to probably require a signal actually to stop vehicular traffic.
Okay.
While trail users go across, and others will just have prominent warning signs for the trail traffic and for
sure.
the car traffic.
Okay.
What's next? Engineers and designers move on to that aforementioned 90% design milestone, and then a detailed set of construction documents. After meeting with project stakeholders, the team will make final edits and then produce the construction document needed to solicit bids for construction work. And then, guess what? Groundbreaking and a trail.
Wow. Wow. It's just so interesting because we've been talking about it for so long, and now we're just right on the cusp of it seems like.
Yeah, what I think about it is we've been talking about it for about as much as 12 to 15 years, but it's really kind of it's been on an accelerated path since
Waco said okay.
Yeah, since Conserving Carolina bought the trail, leased it to Henderson County for, I think, a while, like 150 years.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And they got the NCDOT grant, other grants, and it's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's which is amazing to say.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be here before we know it. Let's move on. Let's continue on. We've got Veterans Day is coming up, and just in time for Veterans Day, the VFW is starting something called a Wall of Honor. Talk to us about this, Bill. By the way, we'll have a guest on, I think, tomorrow morning talking about this as well. So let's do a tease. Let's talk about this.
You're going to have Major Bob Johnson on.
Yep.
Just in time for Veterans Day is exactly right, because mark your calendars for Saturday, November 12th, go to the Kaplan Room. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. That's the mark your calendar day. For what? That is to get your medals, you veterans from World War II on through Desert Storm and Iran and Afghanistan. But you don't have to be in a war and combat, unlike being a member of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, VFW.
Right.
But our local Hedrick Roads VFW post 5206, and specifically Major Bob Johnson, retired of Hendersonville, they have put together a really cool thing, which is this Wall of Honor. And how did this come about? When Bob Johnson was gathering stories for Natural Born Heroes.
Yep.
Remember that? His
uh-huh.
book about the experiences of dozens of World War II veterans who lived in Haywood Knolls. He noticed a similarity about the mementos the men and women brought home from the war. I interviewed 55 people, Major Johnson told the Lightning. I went to 55 homes, talked to them about World War II, and they had these little boxes of medals. And a lot of them said, nobody wants it. It's just going to get thrown away. Major Johnson and his fellow veterans at the Hedrick Roads Post are going to see to it that that doesn't happen.
Wow.
That they want to change that. And that is, they will create these shadow boxes for the medals and the emblems of veterans that want to have those displayed at the new newly renovated in a couple years from now,
right.
VFW post home there at Five Points. So there's a full explanation of that. He's put together a great slideshow Major Johnson has.
Mm-hmm.
So that meeting will take place at 2 p.m. Saturday, November 12, in the Kaplan Room of the main public library.
Okay.
That is the day after Veterans Day, so
yep.
apropos Veterans Day weekend. To participate in the Wall of Honor Project, veterans, they may send an email to jot this down or go to HendersonvilleLightning.com or look at this week's print issue to post 5206 at VFWNC.com with Wall of Honor in the subject line. Someone will get up with you and make an appointment. They've arranged to have a meeting room,
yep.
a little meeting room where they can chat about it and check it out there at the public library. So check all that out. This is going to be a fun project and an important one.
Right, and you can read it in this week's Lightning. Also, make sure you're tuning into the queue tomorrow morning. I believe it's just after 9 o'clock. We'll be talking with them about that. Bill, let's move into one more story before we take a break here. Still working on this rehab center, still trying to find a place for it, and the latest attempt is in Saluda, right?
It is. It's in rural Saluda on a lightly traveled road where, though it's pretty sparsely populated, it had pretty sizable turnout, 45, 50, I think, folks. Last week to oppose this rehab center that First Contact Ministries would like to put there. And 6 hours of legal arguments and mumbo-jumbo and neighbors' comments and expert witness testimony were not enough to settle this permit request. So that has now been postponed to November 21. What is the opposition? Well, they say it'll be traffic. They're afraid that the clients of the First Contact Ministries residential rehab might walk away from the treatment center.
Yeah.
And then be on a rural road with no shoulders, let alone sidewalks. And a lot of opposition based on those factors and others. It's in a million-dollar home that's 5,200 square feet on 34 acres, and they would like to use 5 to 8 rooms to house 10 to 18 adult male patients that would be detoxed before they would ever get to come to it. And they already have a lot of treatment, like I guess you'd call it outpatient.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a residential treatment recovery center. This is their third attempt at one. You remember
right.
the one that would they were going to build new from the ground up
they
on
do.
That lot across from Mud Creek Baptist Church. That failed in another Henderson County Zoning Board of Adjustment case. They had a different one that actually had zoning approval. And the purchase of the property fell through. So this is try number three. In his testimony, Craig Halford, president, CEO, founder of First Contact Addiction Ministries, said, we have models for, this is a bunch of bullets for barrack-style bedrooms. When that was under questioning about, that seems like you've got, you know, too many people for those number of rooms.
Yeah.
The ratio will, we have modeled for these barrack style bedrooms. There's a reason for that. There's a strategy for that. The ratio will be one staff member for every 5 men. Yes, we will protect their health, safety, and welfare. We will have peer support counseling working with them every day, recognized by the state, professional licensed counselors, and there's about 12 or so bullets here that we report from that long meeting of Mr. Halford. And
sure.
there's a lot of coverage of what the opposition is based on, and you can read that in the Lightning.
So shake your magic eight ball, Bill. What do you anticipate happening here? Do you anticipate this getting passed, or any thoughts on that?
I'm not going to predict that one at all, because I think there's been well, it's been fairly balanced in terms of what is the weight of the evidence for and against.
Uh-huh.
I certainly think Craig Halford And it actually is two attorneys, one for First Contact Ministries, Addiction Ministries, and another for the seller.
Yeah.
Have done it. John Knorr, their names are Derek Jones and John Knorr, have done a good job. And the opponents have a good attorney as well, and Brian Golden. He does a lot of land use cases.
Yeah.
He's done cases where he has defended the applicant for what might be described as a disruptive land use.
Yep.
And he's been the attorney for those, as in this case, that oppose a land use. So since we haven't seen the full measure of each case, I'd be reluctant to say.
Sure, sure.
There were a couple of setbacks for the opponents, actually, particularly in the scope of the evidence they were trying to put on from expert witnesses. The Zoning Board of Adjustment limited quite a bit two different expert witnesses from, I guess you would say, speculating on what might happen as a sort of, well, tell us all the parade of horribles that could happen from an addiction recovery center. They said, nope, can't do that. Speculative. You can't take what you know from another recovery center and someone walking away from it and speculate that that would be likely or common, or unlikely or not common.
Hmm. Interesting. We got more coming up. We're going to take a break. Olroy, a bunch of us had lunch with Olroy earlier. We'll talk about that and a few other things going on in this week's Lightning. You're listening to Lightning Radio on the Cube.
Finding the right insurance doesn't have to be a difficult task. That's where the professionals at Barnett & Coates come in. Family owned and founded back in 1969, you can rest assured that the Barnett & Coates team has a strong insurance background paired with product knowledge to serve you best. From auto, home, business and contractor liability, and business auto to outdoor vehicles and watercraft, with Barnett & Coates, you'll experience the quality service you only find with an independent agency. Barnett & Coates, Spartanburg Highway near Chick-fil-A or at barnettandcoates.com.
Kaysen Builder Supply, the official sponsor of patio season, providing quality landscape and masonry materials, exceptional customer service, and superior delivery from locations in East Flat Rock, Brevard, and Greer. Now is the time to prepare for patio season with a visit to Kaysen Builder Supply in East Flat Rock to see displays of outdoor rooms, pavers, retaining walls, and fire pits. Kaysen Builder Supply, providing exceptional service for over 40 years. The official sponsor of patio season. KaysenCompaniesInc.com.
One thing you got to remember, my dad always used to say, crazy always shows up. Just turn on the news. Taxpayers forced to pay off rich kids' student loans? Crazy. Defunding the police? Crazy. Canceled for using the wrong pronouns? Crazy. I'm Tim Moffitt, a common sense conservative Republican running for state Senate. And I'm asking for your vote. Why? Because crazy always shows up, and we're not crazy. Paid for by the committee to elect Tim Moffitt.
Katie, Saturday Night Lights at Tryon Resort was the best. I wonder if they have any fun events during the holidays.
Why don't we check on Tryon.com?
Ooh, it looks like there's a drive-through light show, a Christmas market, Winterfest Village with entertainment and Santa. And Katie, guess what else?
What?
An ice skating rink in Tryon Stadium.
It all kicks off on November 17th with other events starting Thanksgiving weekend.
It sounds like so much fun for the kids and for us. I can't wait to go back.
Me either.
Shadrach's drive-through holiday light show and Winterfest happening at Tryon Resort. Go to Tryon.com/Winterfest for details.
And we are back with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com with the second half of today's Lightning Radio. Bill, let's start with a story about one of the canine units here for the city. We've had a lawsuit now over a pretty bad dog bite. You've got the story in the Lightning.
Very unfortunate case. Won't go into a lot of detail. The story goes into plenty of detail. The lawsuit goes into voluminous. The 48-page lawsuit goes into voluminous detail. It was filed last week by an attorney from Cary, John McCabe, on behalf of Kevin O'Neill and his wife, Mary. It recounts in vivid detail a nightmarish attack on Mr. O'Neill and his wife. They were leaving for a party to celebrate at their home. Their majestic Acres, I think it is. It's Crab Creek Community, to celebrate his 68th birthday when the 75-pound male police dog lunged at him and knocked him to the floor of his kitchen, causing some really serious injury. What happened is the dog, the male dog named Sonny, he first lunged at Mary O'Neill, who was getting into the car. Mm-hmm. And so she called out to Kevin to unlock the car door. Well, he pointed one of those remote clickers. When he pointed that, he goes out on the stoop or the porch or whatever out. He points that, and Sonny, that apparently triggers Sonny, who runs toward him and lunged and knocked him to the kitchen floor and began attacking him relentlessly, causing a lot of damage, scratched, bit, latched onto, and gouged various parts of Mr. O'Neill's body. And it caused a really traumatic situation. Mary tried to come and rescue. She raced into the home with a steel garden rake. And even though she was trying to beat on Sonny, Sonny, in keeping with its training not to release its hold until commanded to do so by its handler, did not relent. And the attack continued until finally he let the dog let go for a moment. They were able to get away, but even then, it was still, the Sergeant Cantwell, who was a canine officer, he realized Sonny had gotten away, which these dogs are not supposed to ever get away from the home to start with.
That was kind of my question. I was thinking, where was the handler?
Yeah, anyway, Sergeant Cantwell did then. He got in his cruiser because he said, oh, where's Sonny? And as soon as he started riding around, because these neighbors live next door, he heard their cries for help, and he went and got Sonny out of the home. That is repeatedly in the lawsuit stated over and over that Sergeant Cantwell let Sonny, not just this time, but other times, had let Sonny roam free from the house, which you're not supposed to do, with a highly trained trained to be aggressive, really, dog
right.
like this. Sonny had attacked other dogs on at least two occasions, according to the lawsuit. And so there's just a lot of accusations of negligence and what Sergeant Cantwell knew or should have known about the potential danger of the situation with a dog like Sonny.
And this is through the city police department?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's city of Hendersonville. This is kind of, we would call it maybe out in the country, but because that's where this is at. So the canines stay with the officer pretty much around the clock.
So is the lawsuit against the officer or is it against the police department?
Very good question, because it is both. It is, let's say, all three: the city of Hendersonville, the police department, and Sergeant Cantwell individually.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
So, and really credit to the city of Hendersonville. They call up they notify the media that this was going on and said, look, we're not trying to hide it. We know this lawsuit is out there. We continue to regret that it happened, the city manager, John Connett, said. They acknowledge that this would happen involving the former police department canine Sonny. Because a lawsuit has been filed, the city is unable to comment further at this time.
Sure.
The city council we'll probably talk about this tonight, but not in public, in a closed session.
Sure, sure. Well, I'm sure the Lightning will continue to follow that story. A bunch of us had lunch with Old Roy to celebrate the Women of Hope for Pardee Foundation.
Yeah, really fun event. I thought Roy Williams did a really good job. Did not mail it in.
Nope.
To put a lot of thought into a 30-minute keynote address last Friday. And did a great, I think there were 440 people there.
Mm-hmm.
They have, then on the next page, we have a story about how they raised seven times the goal. They were hunting for $25,000 for the 25th anniversary of the Women Helping Women event. And they are now at $175,000 in donations with contributions continuing to pour in. Jay Kirby, in introducing Roy Williams, who is, of course, the Hall of Fame coach graduates of UNC and a resident of Flat Rock, mm-hmm. North Carolina,
yep.
There in Kenmure. Jay Kirby, he praised Wanda Williams' role in her husband's decision to embark on a college coaching career in Chapel Hill. How did she do that? Well, when her husband and father of their new son suggested they leave their $30,000 combined income, this would be when he was coaching at Owen High School, uh-huh. and she was a school teacher there in Buncombe, leave their $30,000 combined income back in the early 70s to accept a $2,700 a year coaching job for Dean Smith at UNC. After a brief pause, she said, "When do we leave?"
Wow.
"God bless you, Wanda," Kirby said. "On behalf of the state of North Carolina and the Tar Heel Nation, we say thank you."
Yeah.
And so those three national championships in the aughts were a pretty good achievement. And in his keynote, he talked about family, returning home, his personal experience with cancer, and how his approach to coaching can translate into life outside the basketball arena. And just one more from him. "So I coached 48 years. We always had a thought for the day because I wanted the kids to think. I used to tell my guys, I will never get mad at you for missing a shot. I'll never get mad at you if the other guy just makes a great shot over you. But I will get mad if you don't hustle, and I will get mad if you don't concentrate, because you can control those things." And he wanted the crowd to... He relates cancer to that, is that you cannot control the wind, but you can adjust the sails. So the crowd could adjust the sails by doing something for cancer research, cancer screening, cancer treatment.
That sounds to me like that's exactly what happened.
That sounds to me as well like that's exactly what happened. They adjusted their sails by getting out their checkbook.
Yep, absolutely. It was fun to hear him drop some names of some local people and to really delve into just how local he actually is. I knew it, but I didn't know quite all of the history. So it was fun to hear that.
Yeah, he had seemed to have total recall of a lot of stuff that went back a long ways involving his time as a high school coach.
And I think my favorite part was finding out how he was paid for this speaking arrangement. In Hot Dog World coupons.
Oh, yeah.
He waived his speaking fee and got Hot Dog World coupons. I loved it.
Yeah, I even wondered if the I know nothing, so, but there was that $12,500, half of 25, right? There was that $12,500 anonymous donor. I wondered if that was the same man who was up there speaking.
Sure.
It could have been anybody, of course.
Absolutely.
But there's no lack of, he is on the national board of Coaches versus Cancer.
Yep.
He started that Fast Break Against Cancer fundraiser in Chapel Hill and has run it for many years. He wears the pink sneakers, when they I guess it's last month, October is the breast cancer awareness time. So he is, as the Lightning story points out, he's no stranger to active, aggressive support to fight cancer.
Yep. Yeah, it was a great speaker. Great speaker, and it was a great event. Nice to see that happen again. We've got three more days, right? Three more days of early voting, today, tomorrow, and Saturday.
Correct.
And one of the things we were not able to highlight because of being on hiatus was your special voting guide that you have for the Lightning. But you've got sample ballot in this week's Lightning.
We have it online.
Yeah.
And that sample ballot, all of this is online as well. So that early one-stop voting does continue through Saturday, if people want to know about that. That is Board of Elections, 75 East Central, behind the O'Reilly Auto Parts Store, the Etowah Library, 101 Brickyard Road, Flat Rock Village Hall, and Fletcher Town Hall. And that is today and tomorrow, 8 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. And that is Saturday. This is the last opportunity, 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., Saturday, November 5. So you can check that out as well. You can see we've reposted this story with sample ballots, so it's on the homepage, pretty high up on HendersonvilleLightning.com if people want to check that out.
Sure, absolutely. And then, of course, you've got Election Day itself if you don't early vote before Saturday.
Yeah, correct.
Okay. And I've been impressed the number of times I've passed by the Board of Elections right there on Spartanburg Highway at the number of cars in line waiting to get parking spots to go in.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
There's been a lot.
Yeah, go go in the morning, it's going to be less crowded.
Sure, sure.
When I've been a couple times already to Flat Rock Village Hall, I've seen looks pretty light there,
yeah.
And so easy to get in and out. Now, that could have changed because I don't think I've been this week. That the traffic is maybe heavier right now.
Sure, sure. Well, I certainly noticed it at the Board of Elections. Bill, there's still plenty more in this week's Lightning. How can people pick up a copy of theirs?
Well, maybe wait for that soupy fog to lift, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
It's a little soupy out there right now. And travel. Then you can travel all around the county and see the very visible Lightning orange racks. Visit one of those to get your copy of your single copy of the Lightning, or visit any of our dealer partners. Or go to HendersonvilleLightning.com and click on subscribe, and that will show you how to join the growing legions of Lightning fans that get their Lightning today, Lightning Thursday, or also very easy and fun, call Jan at 698-0407.
You've been listening to Lightning Thursday with Bill Moss, editor and publisher of the Hendersonville Lightning and HendersonvilleLightning.com. This program, as well as past episodes, can be heard in their entirety on our website at WTZQ.com. Click on air and scroll down to Lightning Thursday.